Chapter 2, Up in the Air. There was Jed dangling inside a hawk's clenched talons high above the earth. And yet, when the little voice inside him told Jed to give up, to let go of his life, another little voice said, "Nope, I don't think so." He opened his eyes. He had to tilt his face downward to do it. The world whizzing by was so far below. Jed was used to heights, being a squirrel and a leaper, but he didn't usually look down much. He had never looked down from this far up, and he felt queasy. Were those treetops or small bushes? He was tempted again to give up. The situation did seem hopeless. Could it be any more hopeless? Actually, amazingly, yes. He realized that it could. He could have been pierced by talons or torn asunder. But Jed couldn't help noticing that while he was in a death grip and terrified, he seemed to be intact, in one piece, unpierced. This went against everything he had been taught about hawk snatchings. So he did a quick inspection of himself to be sure. It was easy to tell that his heart was still beating. It was drumming as loud and as fast as a grouse in springtime. He wiggled his fingers and toes. All there. He flicked his tail, and it moved. He couldn't see it, but he could feel it. "So there is hope," he said to himself. "But don't be dazzled. You are definitely in a fix. Pay attention. Use your knowledge of the enemy." Author's note. Enemy is such a strong word. It might be more sporting to say adversary or the other team. Sometimes the thing you do is to invite your adversary for cake and lemonade and see if they can become your friend. It can save a whole lot of grief later on. But when you are Team Squirrel and the other is Team Hawk, this is not a good idea. Because as far as the hawk is concerned, you are the cake and also the lemonade. When a hawk says, "I love squirrels," it says it in the way humans might say, "I love potato chips." "What I do know about our friend, the hawk," Jed mused, as he was carried through the air at far fur-flattening speed. "I mean, what do I really know? Because squirrels have a lot of ideas about hawks that are not accurate. Like, all hawks are strong and powerful, but not very bright. Which is something we like to think about creatures who are stronger than we are. Or, hawks are slobs, or hawks can't smell. That one is true. They don't have a good sense of smell. Speaking of which," Jed observed that the hawk itself was smelly, but he did not see how that information could be useful. "They do have sharp eyesight, of course. Everyone knows that. Hawkeye. Eyes like a hawk." But what else? Jed felt that there was something in the back of his brain on the tip of his tongue. He was usually a cool customer, but he was flustered by this predicament. "Think, think, think," he said to himself. All he could think of was mice. Hawks like to eat mice. That was one thing he knew for sure. An idea formed in his head. It was a lame idea, but it was the only one he had. "Mice!" he squeaked. "What?" said the hawk. "What did you say?" Talons tightened, then loosened. Not enough, though. "Nothing," Jed squeaked, making his voice sound frightened this time, which wasn't hard. Then, in what he hoped would be a different voice, he called out, "The field is full of mice today." He did not know if there were mice in the field or not, but most fields have mice. Mice are everywhere. Anyway, that wasn't the point. It was a tactic, a trick. For an instant, the hawk, scanning for mice, eased his grip ever so slightly. And in that instant, Jed relaxed his muscles. It was a technique from the ancient squirrel defense martial art of high tree. Not well known because it doesn't work most of the time. Because it is so hard to do when your situation is not relaxing. But Jed concentrated and completely relaxed his muscles, like the great Houdini escaping a straitjacket, and then he slipped like water through the distracted hawk's talons. The hawk, truth be told, was mostly distracted, not because Jed was shouting about mice, but by the fact that Jed was still alive. Food was supposed to be limp at this point. This food was not limp, and when it started speaking, it gave him the heebie-jeebies. He lost his focus. Just for a moment. In any case, Jed slipped from the hawk's grasp and plummeted through the air onto the earth, or almost to earth. At the last possible moment, a porcupine walked beneath him, followed by a curious dog. Jed bounced off the dog, who was headed for some serious trouble, and landed in a pile of autumn leaves. Note, do we feel sorry for the hawk who has just lost his supper? Yes, a little. This is what's called a hard truth, but we feel sorrier for whoever become the supper. That is a harder truth. As for Jed, he landed in something soft, but not before bumping his noggin on the dog. He lay unconscious within the fragrant pile of drying leaves. P.S. We also feel sorry for the dog, because porcupine needles hurt like no other thing. But that is a different story.